Kathy has quite a bit of her family here today to witness her baptism. Family members, I'm sorry that Melanie has quite a bit of family here to witness her baptism. Melanie, have your family just raise their hands so we know who the family are. Let's welcome them. Praise God. Wonderful. Did you have family here today, Kathy? Her grandson is here. He's 8 years old, but let's welcome her grandson. He was here to see Grandma be baptized as well. Used. What's it like to be used? It's not a concept that necessarily stirs in us the most positive response. Nobody likes to feel used. Stepped on by somebody to get ahead. Swindled by someone to get your money. Used. In a relationship with someone, and then at the least thing, they dump you. You feel used. There is the term well used. And we think of that when we think of the hammer that is held in the gifted carpenter's hand and a building erupts from nothing into something, and that hammer has been well used. But the concept of being used is not the most pleasant. And yet, I use the word used to describe the mother of Jesus. Used. As I teach my ministerial students preaching, I now share with you the theme idea for this sermon. It's simple. Have you submitted yourself so totally and completely to God that even if it hurts you, you're willing to be used? Let's pray. Father, in this simple Christmas message, speak to us afresh in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 1 was read. Let's go back there. Matthew, the first chapter. And verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. That's how the New King James Version reads. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Used. We have in this year dealt with the concept of service, born to serve, shaped to serve, risking to serve in this quarter. Saved to serve. And during this year, we've taken an intense look at the concept of service. And I do wonder if during this year anything has happened for you personally about the concept of service from the biblical perspective. We now know through these sermons that have been preached by all of the pastors and presenters during this year that the gift of life is also an obligation from God. You remember that? Yeah, we talked about that. If you're alive right now, you are obligated to God for your life. It is not your life. And we've learned that the gift of life requires service. Service is not optional. Service is not something you do when you have time. We serve because we are, because we exist. It's a part of the warp and woof of our life. Are you with me so far? Speaking of himself, Jesus said in Matthew 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's Jesus talking. That's the Son of God. And then he said, following up on this, a servant is not greater than his master. So if the master served, we must serve. Talk to me. If the master served, we must serve. It's a non-optional thing. This is why when you do ministry or do something, there should be no boasting. There should be no seeking of acclaim from the pastoral staff. If you've done something of service, you've just done what a Christian is supposed to do. Amen. Being a servant, therefore, is being like Jesus. But sometimes, say with me now, I'm laying the groundwork. Sometimes, Nicole, a servant is asked to do something unusual by the master. In fact, stay with me, what the master asks may be so unusual, it almost seems as if the master has no regard for the servant. But just remember this, whatever our master asks, he has done more, and whatever he asks, he empowers us to do. What do you say? Acts 1:8, he says, ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. We really, when you consider the importance of Mary, the mother of Jesus, there's very little in the Bible about her. The biblical evidence would suggest, based on the culture, she was a teenager. She was a pregnant teenager. She was a pregnant teenager. I said, she was a pregnant teenager. It was in keeping with the culture of her day. Because in her day, a young woman was married by age 16 or 17. We know that she was a young woman who had lived a proper life according to her times and ours. There's an echo in this microphone. We know that she's a young lady who had lived a proper life according to her times and our times because she tested the angel. When the angel drops this bomb in her life, she says to the angel, I have not known a man. She's simply saying, you are putting me in a mess. I have not been sexually active. Don't you know that, angel? Did you study eighth grade science? Are you going to be with me, Gabriel, when I explain this? The prophet Isaiah, she had to be a non-sexual person because the prophet Isaiah had already prophesied. Pastor Taylor talked about it this morning in Isaiah 7:14. He had already said, behold, the Lord shall give you a sign, and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So Jesus' mother had to be a virgin. The prophet had said it hundreds of years before. We know from studying the book of Luke, she was a descendant of David through his son Nathan. Thus she was of the tribe of Judah. And this was necessary because Jacob had prophesied through Judah that the scepter would not go from that tribe until Shiloh comes and Shiloh has to deal with the concept of one who bears the scepter. So she had to be from the tribe of Judah. She had to be a virgin. She had to be a believer. This is a believer getting ready to get used. And she's an honest woman, because it would take an honest woman to come back to her husband to be, but technically in Jewish law, her husband, because betrothed, see, betrothed is deeper than engagement. Betrothed is married. The only difference between betrothed and married in the Jewish culture is that while you're betrothed, you don't sleep together. Well, she was married. And yet, given the rules, no sleeping together, it took an honest woman to come back and say, Joe, I have something to tell you. And it says something about her character that she faced up to that. So in spite of her lineage, in spite of her character, God used her, listen to me, used her in a way that was to test everything that she was. Now let me make the statement right now. You're not a Christian until you're willing to let the Lord use you in a way you can't understand. See, as long as you can explain it, that's not faith. But the just shall live by faith. I read that. So faith says, if God asks me something, even if it doesn't make sense to me, because I live by faith, I'll do it. I'm willing to be used. Is anybody listening to me? I'm willing to be used. You remember when God called Paul in Acts 9:16, he says to the prophet Ananias, I will show him great things he will suffer for my name's sake. And then talking to us, Peter declares in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Let me say it again. To be a Christian, Gary, is to be used. That was a pitiful response. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're talking truth here. To be a Christian is to be used. Not your way, his way. Not by your permission, by his permission. See, not only are you used his way, you're used when he wants you to be used, where he wants you to be used. In fact, let me make it plain, Brother Clark, you have no say in how you get used. Mary, how does the Bible unfold this? Take your Bible now. Take your Bible. Take your Bible. Go to Matthew 1 and verse 18. We read that. Now look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away how? Some Bibles say privately, some say secretly. But what you don't know, or maybe you do know, is that there are 3 months between verse 18 and verse 19. Go to Luke 1 and verse 26. And we'll be in Luke 1 for a while. Go to Luke, the first chapter. Luke unfolds the birth of John the Baptist. Picking up the Mary story in Luke 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, now in the what? It's talking about the 6th month of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin's pregnancy. Are you following me? So after she gets this bombshell, some things are going to happen. And then, verses 27 through 35, there's this announcement that comes to Mary. And really, when you read this, just to a virgin betrothed to a man, verse 27, whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. The virgin's name was Mary. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. See, the angel shows up and says, rejoice! Highly favored one. Well, Mary's no dummy. She's troubled. What's this? Who's this? Why is he showing up here? And notice the positive spin that Gabriel puts on it. Rejoice. You're blessed among women. But the next verse says she's troubled. Mary's not buying in right away. Verse 28, verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, you would think if you found favor with God, something real nice is going to happen. Is that right? Oh, I don't have to go to the lottery. God's going to finally come through for me. The car I've always wanted, it's coming. The house I've always prayed for, it's coming. I'm highly favored. God's getting ready to come through. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. God knows science. And bring forth a son. Should we call his name Jesus? Now, he doesn't give Mary a chance to respond. He starts painting it up. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father. He will reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom shall be there forever. And then Mary brings things back down to earth. I like all this you're saying. But angel, there's a problem. There's a serious problem occurring in your announcement. It's in verse 34. How can this thing be? Finish it. Let me make it plain to you. Until you do something for God that you can't see how it's going to happen. Until you do something for God that from your standpoint of view is impossible. Come on, somebody. Until you do something for God that defies the natural order, you've not experienced true faith in God. Just to live by faith. We're going to go through some very serious things in the last days, and some things will not make sense, and yet we shall survive. There'll be those of us standing alive to see the Lord come. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. We shall go through. Can't explain it. Hey, some of you saints who have put your kids through church school, you know you can't explain how you did it. If you tried to sit down and add up how you did it, you'd faint. Huh? Am I telling the truth? The Lord allows you to do some impossible things. He puts you in some difficult situations and you can't see. Angel, just a minute. I have not done the things that should produce a baby. Now, we give Mary a lot of credit in what happens next. Verse 35, he explains how it's going to happen. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, overshadow you, and the one who's going to be in you is going to be called the Son of God. Then verse 36, Gabriel again tries to give her some comfort. Hey, I got news for you. Your cousin Elizabeth, who's too old to have a child, will have a baby. You're not the only one in the mess, Mary. Somebody else has got some stuff to explain. You see, think about it. If you lose your job, come on now, and the pastor comes by to see to bring comfort and says, "Don't you worry. 5 folk in the church lost their jobs this week. You're going to be just fine." See, your response, you're saying, I'm not sure that's comfort. Mary, it's okay. Elizabeth, and then he says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Now, verse 38, we give her a lot of credit. "Behold, the mantle of the Lord," she says, "let it be according to your word." Angel gets on out of there. Now, I tend to read the Bible more realistically than a lot of people do. When you read verse 38, Mary looks so good. "Hey, be it unto me." And then Anwar, the angel, leaves. Where does the angel go? Where does the angel go? Back to heaven. That's a long way away. Where's Mary? On earth. With who? Joseph. Angel says, see ya. I'm out of here. Good response. Be it unto you. Bless you, Mary. And I don't know, folks. Now, I have a way of reading the Bible. I'm thinking that after the angel leaves, it kind of hits Mary. Whew. What happens next? Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. What does Mary do as an angel leaves? She leaves. It suddenly hits her what she's facing. Come on, somebody. Just stay awake a few minutes, y'all. It suddenly hits her what she's facing. She leaves. And we find out in verse 26 already, it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. She goes to see. Is this elderly woman actually pregnant? Are you following the story? Well, when she gets there, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps. Elizabeth says, hey, what's going on with you? When you walked in, my baby leaped. And Mary tells her, hey, you see, here's my situation. And they have this rejoicing moment, so forth and so on, and it looks real good. It looks real good. Verse 56. Mary remains with Elizabeth how long? 3 months. Now, ladies, the men not bright enough to get this. Ladies. She's been with Elizabeth how long? What happens in 3 months, ladies? You start showing labor. What class you been in? Labor. That brother needs to go back to school. Labor. 3 months labor? God forbid. It's 9 months now for Elizabeth, but how many months is it for Mary? And what happens, ladies, in the third month? You start showing. In other words, she's gone to the limit of not telling Joseph. Are y'all in the story with me now? You see it? We're talking about being used. We're talking about, Anwar, God putting you in a situation that it's hard to explain. You know it's God. You're convinced it's his will, but it's not making sense. But you said, wheresoever thou leadest, I will follow. You sang it with all your heart. Now you've got to put up or shut up. That robe is Can you imagine coming back in town to TPC? And you know how you sisters are. Y'all can see before we see. Y'all start. I don't know, child, but I think I don't want to be the one to say anything. She got to get by. She lives in Nazareth. She's at Nazareth SDA the next Sabbath. And she walks in and she's trying to bind things up as best she can. But y'all too smart for that. And then y'all start standing so you can see her from the side. Mm-hmm. Elder, did you notice? Well, I know we men. Oh, I'm a smart pastor. I don't see stuff unless I have to. No, I didn't see nothing. No, sis, I didn't see nothing. And so the deaconess are whispering. And Joseph is a deacon. They're betrothed, they're married, but there's not supposed to be any stuff going on. And so the deacons are going up to Joseph saying, where was she? Well, she went away for a few months. Mm-hmm. Anything we need to talk about, Joe? No. Well, okay, man. Praying for you. Hope it all works out. Are you listening to me, folk? Used. Now, not just her, but Joseph. Now we can go back to Matthew 1, verse 19. Now, again, pastor's imagination. See, I'm sorry, ladies, brethren. I don't think that Mary got back and just walked into the house with Joseph and said, guess what? I'm pregnant. No. Sis fixed up some green beans. Come on, y'all. And some cutlets with some onions on them, with gravy. Come on, yes, sir. Some baked potatoes. Are you listening to me? A little mac and cheese. Fixed him his favorite punch. And laid on him some peach cobbler. Would the brethren say amen? Put the lamps out with some candles. Put on some music written by Anwar Otley. Honey, fixed your special dinner. And we get done, need to have a talk with you. And he's picked up the gossip. He's looking, but she got the candles. You can't see real good in candles. He's watching. She sits down. He's kind of trying to see. And he's just sweating because he does not want to hear what he knows he's going to hear. Let me put it to you plainly. Hey, if you're going to stand for Jesus in the last days, even sometimes your family will not understand. Can I get a witness in this place? There is that moment. There is that time. There is that experience when God expects you to stand by yourself, for yourself. Mama may not understand. Daddy may not approve. Even husband and spouse may not go along with it. But if you're going to be saved, there's got to be that one moment in your life when you stand for God all by yourself. I wish somebody would say amen around this place. She tells him, belly's full, but he can hear. I don't know how Joseph felt. I've tried to put myself in. How did Joseph feel? Well, he's a good church person. He's trying to figure, how can we handle this without a board meeting? You read the text? He said, what does the text say he tries to do? You tell me. Put her away how? You don't want no board meeting. Just maybe tell the brethren that just it's not working out. We're not communicating well. Money's tight. I don't see myself pulling it off. Thought I had enough money to get married. Can't do it. Anything but put her out there. Because if you read your Bible like I read mine, she is subject to what? Stoning. She's married, not engaged by herself. She's married. She's subject to being stoned. So we see the character and love in Joseph. But here's the thing I want you to see that's so beautiful to me. Just when the Lord backs you up in a corner and it looks like there's no way out, God has something that you wouldn't expect. And the last thing in the world Mary expects is for Joseph to understand. And God, understanding Joseph's dilemma, never puts more on you than can bear. The Lord says, it's time, Gabriel, for you to make another trip. Amen. Oh, Lord, I wish somebody would praise God with me. Hey, we better go down there and help both Mary and Joseph. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that deacon a dream? It's all right. Nothing untoward has happened. You can do this. Now, it gets interesting to me. Because now, Joseph and Mary take on being used together. Amen. Because there's going to be, you know, the sisters can count. They're going to get married. But 6 months later, not 9 months later, sis. 6 months later. And you know, the sisters can count. Child? Didn't they get married in June? Yeah. And the baby, it must be premature, honey. Must be premature. Must have had a tough pregnancy. Because in December, ain't supposed to be no delivery now. We talking March at the earliest. And sis has given up in December. Something wrong here. Nobody gonna say nothing though. You know how we are. We ain't gonna say nothing. We ain't gonna say nothing up front. You know, we just kind of, yeah. That's a big premature baby, ain't it, honey? That boy got some muscles on him. Then come here in 6 months. Woo! I tell you, she couldn't have carried it for 9 months. Is the church listening to the pastor? I'm talking about used. I'm talking about being willing to be placed by God in circumstances that are not explainable, but they're His will. Talking about being willing to be talked about for the sake of God. And Mary and Joseph never lost the stain. Quickly, John 8 and verse 41. Quickly. Jesus is a grown man, and he's preaching, and they take a swipe at his birth. John 8 and verse 41. He's preaching. Then he says, you do the deeds of your father, talking about them being evil and bossed around by Satan. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We still got questions about you, Jesus. Mary, Joseph went to his grave with questions about him and his wife. Are you listening to me? You. You ever thought about what happens to a woman when she gets pregnant? Lots of changes. Yeah, if you're going to bear the Christ child, you're going to make some changes. A pregnant woman has to change the way they eat. Somebody's still awake. A pregnant woman must change the way she dresses. Come on now. She must change her rest. You know, first day to the seventh day. Hallelujah! She must change her mind. She must change the way she thinks. And she must learn to put the baby first. I just described the Christian life. I wish somebody would say amen. When you're going to be used by God, He takes over. The way you eat must change. Some things don't come in your body anymore. The way you dress changes. The way you rest changes. The way you think changes. When you accept Christ in the life, He takes over. When you're used by God. I read my Bible. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Used. 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 Poor little teenage girl. Used. Jesus said, if you love mother or father or sister or brother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Used. Called upon to do what you don't want to do. for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on that silent night, that holy night, she had her baby. She wasn't done being used. She had to rear him so the devil could kill him. Used. She had to take him to church, knowing one day the church would crucify him. Used. She had to see her son talked about and abused and misunderstood by his own brothers. Used. Every time she saw him, that she knew the day would come when she would never hug him again. And when she's coming out of church, having had her baby dedicated, the prophet says, a sword shall pierce your heart. You had him. You didn't really want to do it, but you had him. You accepted it. And now, having accepted it, I'm going to kill him. And I'm going to tell you right now, the day will come when you will bleed in your heart for the son I gave you, you didn't ask for. Used. Used. So she follows him through the trial. She sees them smack and spit on her son. She knows now he's the Son of God. She realizes now that all she was a channel for God's will. But brothers and sisters, don't feel bad. If you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what you are. You're just a channel. You're just somebody God can use. Don't complain about it. Be glad he chose you. When those nails were pounded into his hands, they were pounded into her heart. When that spear was stuck in his side, it went in her side. Somewhere in their private conversations, he told her. I'm coming up. Now, she had seen him raise the dead. She had never seen him raise himself. Don't worry, Mom, I'm coming up. Can you imagine? Come on, somebody. How she felt on Sunday morning. Word came in. Mary Magdalene knocked on the door. And I know she stopped by Mary's house. Hey, hey, Mary, he's up. I saw him. Your son is alive. Your baby, something else, Mary. Just like he said, he was preaching one Sabbath. He said, I'll put it down. I'll take it up, Mary. He was not exaggerating. He's up. Can you imagine the hug she got from Jesus? Use. And then he had to tell her, read Acts 1. He goes up, but 4 verses later, she's in the upper room. He had to tell his mother, I'm going back. Can't take you with me. Used. Have you liked the way I told the story today? Anwar, sing that lovely carol. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Silent night, virgin mother.
Jesus wants to use you. He wants to take over. Change the way you eat. Change the way you dress. Change the way you rest. Change the way you think. And maybe you've been thinking about making your decision. Maybe one day you see yourself doing what Kathy and Melanie did today, being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, accepting that Christ wants to use you forever. You've been thinking about it, praying about it. Maybe today you'd like to come for Bible study, baptism, or transfer, put yourself in league with this congregation here, God's people around the world. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want people to be praying. Oh, by the way, there's a card in the back of the pew if you want to do it that way, but if you'd like to come forward while he sings the next verse, just quietly come. You're praying, folk. Bible study, baptism, transfer. Willingness of Mary. It took a lot of courage to say, be it unto me as you will. She had no idea what she was getting into. Not really. But she said, Lord, be it unto me as you said. She had 30 some years of heartbreak and challenge and joy before her. I don't think there'll be anybody happier on the resurrection day than Mary, the mother of Jesus. Oh, when she comes out of that grave, she's going to see her son sitting on a cloud with a crown on his head. And we'll be saying, Lord, this is our God. She'll be saying, that's my boy. That's my boy. Used. Bless us, Lord, and help us. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. Are you glad you heard the word today? Amen.
I'll invite us all to stand as we sing just the last verse of Silent Night, Holy Night. Just the last verse of Silent Night, Holy Night.